Welcome to Voice Rising with Kara Johnstad. Enjoy weekly conversations with leading luminaries, pioneering visionaries, singers, poets, musicians, and sound healers as we explore the profound role our voice plays on the path to self-realization and global enlightenment. The internationally acclaimed singer, composer, author, healer, recording artist, voice expert, creator of Voice Your Essence, and founder of the School of Voice, Kara Johnstad uses her extraordinary spiritual gifts to empower others. Everything in this world vibrates. Everything has a frequency. A pioneer in the field of voice work and transformational songwriting. Her breakthrough methods are helping thousands of people worldwide fine-tune their body-mind-spirit system and unlock the energetic frequencies of limitless creativity, health, and abundance. Share your voice, ask your questions, join in the conversation. Receive life-changing, positive transformation and rise together to create a sound world. And here's your host, Kara Johnstad.
Hello, everybody. A very warm welcome today. There is a hidden power hidden within sound, and it's just beginning to come more to light. A power that sacred chant and ancient wisdom has shared with us for many years. But the question is, were we listening? With me to explore mantra, sacred chant, and talk about her new album, Narinka, is Sanatam Kaur. Sanatam is a world-renowned Grammy-nominated devotional singer, musician, teacher, author, and peace activist. Welcome, Sanatam, to Voice Rising.
Thank you so much for having me, Kara. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, it's very good to have you here with us today. You have a new album out, and it's called Nirankar. It's being released. This show is now, we're in April, so it's going to be released on May 13th, 2022. How does that feel for you?
It's pretty incredible. There are 8 tracks on mm-hmm. this album, and they're so full. Each of them has a gift for me and an experience for me. And I feel like there's such an abundance of just really powerful tools for sacred chant. And each one of them has kind of a different, I guess I would say, specialty or something.
Yeah.
You know, these chants kind of, I feel that they come to me. You know, somebody asked me, what's your favorite chant? Mm-hmm. And I said to them, well, it's whatever has come to me in the moment and is serving me in that moment. Because mm-hmm. I really feel that there's this fluidity and the universe really speaks to me through each of these chants, and I use them different times in my life. Sometimes when I, you know, am feeling in a sense of celebration and comfort and joy, and sometimes when I'm in challenge and in struggle and pain, and it really covers the spectrum in between those two.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah. You were recording, I'm assuming, during the last 2 years, and we were in this global pandemic, and it just seems like there was a lot of struggle and fear and all these patterns that we had of maybe being in studio and touring and giving each other long hugs were being disrupted. And at the same time, there was, at least on my side with the people that I know, so much reevaluation and deep peace and honoring the earth and maybe being even more tuned into what we are feeding ourselves, not only food-wise, but also music-wise. And, you know, are we going to watch the news? Or are we going to pick up a book of poetry? Did you record a lot in the studio with your wonderful musicians, or did you need to work more online and have them send these tracks back and forth?
Well, we did the bulk of the writing and the initial recording process actually before the pandemic.
Uh-huh.
And then during the pandemic, I felt like for myself, I really entered this kind of cocoon state.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I came to a lot of places of evaluation that you're speaking of. Mm-hmm. With my own life and decided to make some choices to slow down. For example, I decided moving forward that I would do one tour a year instead of two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like really kind of feeling my rhythm and appreciating that sense of connection with my own rhythm and realizing, wow, that it is actually time for me to slow down a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So after about a year of just being in this kind of cocoon place, then I started to work with my band to finish the recordings and to bring them out. And I found, as I spoke to you about before, how these mantras come to me as teachers and guides, I found that each of the mantras was really a guide for me in my own journey of the pandemic and everything that I needed to experience at that time. And, you know, the name Nirankar, means how the divine manifests in the unknown. So
yeah.
Omkar is how the divine manifests in ways that we can perceive, but Nirankar is how the divine manifests in ways that we cannot perceive. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, obviously the soul is perceiving. And I really felt that sense of unknown. And the importance of leaning into the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
So it just made perfect sense to me to call the album Nirankar for that reason, because a lot for me of the pandemic was kind of stripping away things that I was used to. You know, I've been touring for, in earnest since 2004, and, you know, sitting in community and chanting with people and, you know, all of these things that I've come to know of, this is how I do my spiritual practice. This is how
right.
I elevate myself. You know, I had to kind of find a connection within myself, which was key, actually. And I found myself going to nature quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, connecting with all the trees and the cattails and the little ponds by our house and seeing how nature was teaching me through the mantras and through just nature herself some really important things for this time for myself, for my own heart.
Beautiful. I would love the listeners, our audience, to have a taste of the new album. And we can start with this Omkar, Nirankar. I think you shared a little bit of the backstory. So I would suggest we just listen into your music, because I think, you know, we can sense so much, not only through the speaking the words, our conversation, but also when we hear your voice weave itself through these melodies. So we'll go for
yeah.
it, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So Omkar Nirankar from Sanatamkar's newest album. Here we go.
Omkar Nirankar Nirankar
You're listening to Onkar, Nirankar, and Sanatam is with me in studio. Sanatam, you were sharing a little bit about this track, and if I understand it correctly, Onkar is like the creator making himself or herself visible, like the manifestation, and Nirankar is more the mystery. Is that correct? Can I?
Yes.
Yeah. And so I guess my question is, because I know that you've dedicated so much of your life to this practice, and also you are a peace activist. And I think a lot of times people really struggle with, in the moment, we've been going through a lot of different wars, but we have in Europe the Ukrainian-Russian war in the moment. How can we turn towards compassion when we know the divine is everything? It's the cattail that you were talking about. It's the rosebud. It's the baby being born. But if we stay consequent with that, it's everything, right? It's a mystery. It's also the bleeding hearts. It's also the illness. So how, from your experience, do we navigate this sense of, well, normally we would think the divine would just be the most luscious, beautiful light and love, right? And yet we have these struggles that we are facing and have to face. So what is your wisdom?
Yeah, you know, I talk about this often with my husband, and I reflect over what you're talking about quite a bit. I guess the analogy that, you know, that comes to mind is, you know, there is Buddha, and the enlightenment of Buddha, you know, happened when he kind of left his castle, mm-hmm. and went wandering and, you know, and experienced the suffering of the world and meditated, and, you know, all of this was very important. But then there was also the perspective of, well, he left behind, you know, his wife, and mm-hmm. she had just had a baby, and
yeah.
You know, what was her experience? And I like to kind of sit in that question. The Buddha actually came back to the castle some years later and was received by his wife, and some of the first female nuns that enlisted under the Buddha were from the castle, were these noble mm-hmm. ladies from this very castle. So there was a coming to peace with what had happened through the pain. Mm-hmm. And it must have been an incredible story. And I feel like it's like, you know, the path of staying, the path of living in the role that you've been given, mm-hmm. whether it is to, you know, the Buddha's role was to go out and wander, and the Buddha's wife, her role was to stay. And in similar, in looking at the story of Arjuna in the battlefield, mm-hmm. where mm-hmm. he didn't want to fight, you know, he didn't want to go and fight his own brethren. And then Krishna saying, this is the path before you, is this is God's will. And so I feel like it is important to have the expansive settling and understanding and knowing and feeling this Onkar, this Nirankar, the manifestation of the divine and the mystery of it, and to find what our role is in it, in the great yeah. play of life, and you know, walk forward in consciousness with that role to the best of mm-hmm. our abilities.
Mm-hmm.
It mm-hmm. you know, for some it may be sitting and being quiet and not saying or participating for others that may be getting out there and speaking. Mm-hmm. And I feel mm-hmm. a deep respect for whatever roles we've been given. And I feel like having the expansiveness, which I feel like this mantra does for me, Omkar and Nirankar, in presenting these two polarities, allows me to come into like a center feeling, you know, when I'm meditating to it or chanting. And then from that center space, I can then expand out beyond just what my little role is, although it's important, but just beyond it and see the greater cosmos and picture. And that's so key to then being authentically in our little picture, our little roles, to have that expansiveness allows us to live truthfully in what our particular role is.
And perhaps that's that compassion that we can surrender or be, in a way, relax into those different roles. I remember the same thing I had when I had read a book on Krishna, and he was leading a war. I'm hoping I'm getting this history correct. And I was so shocked, you know, because I was so much of a pacifist and, you know, eating my vegetables and no war, no war. And I remember a sentence that if anybody should lead a war, it should be somebody with more enlightenment or more, because the war will happen or the tension might happen or the relationship struggle might happen. So the more enlightenment we can bring into these places. It was a very big shift for me, because I was just anti, right? Just anti this. And to really get that broader picture and just feel that duality that is painful. And at the same time, what I think it's true, when one listens to this mantra, you feel the unity, the presence and the unity. Can I sit, like you said? I hadn't thought of Buddha's wife for a while. I was just thinking of Buddha. So thank you for bringing that into the conversation. And can we sit with that truth that she was alone, or with her, maybe, you know, her mother or her maids, but she was also left while he went to wander. And that's both part. I mean, that is looking for more completion and surrender, right? Anyway, Sanatan, we have to take a very, very short break, and then we're going to come back with more. But I thank you for your depth and for sharing with us a little bit about your own journey. Thank you.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
With happy clients all over the world, Kara Johnstad knows that your voice is the missing link to more authenticity, abundance, creativity, and health. An internationally acclaimed voice expert, Kara's breakthrough methods have helped thousands of people successfully heal their voice wounds and extinguish the story of self-doubt and shyness forever. Join in group trainings, attend online sessions, schedule one-on-one time, and invite Kara to work with your organization and community. Get started today. Go to www.karajohnstad.com and receive a special guided meditation designed to fine-tune your inner voice and welcome you on the voice journey.
This is Kathy Beal, host of Celestial Compass, featuring astrology you can use. Celestial Compass points you to what's going on in the sky and what you can do with it down here on Earth. We also explore fun, effective, and cosmic tools for navigating this adventure we call life. Join me the first and third Monday of the month at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for Celestial Compass. It's enlightening, entertaining, and empowering.
Coping 19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
If you're feeling increasingly lonely right now, you're not alone. It's totally normal. Even though we may not be able to get together in person, connecting virtually with friends and family still gives you a chance to interact with people and may help raise your spirits. Join a virtual book club, set up group text chats, or online video coffee breaks with coworkers.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
Welcome back to Voice Rising. I am your host, Kara Johnstad, and with me today is sacred chant artist and teacher Sanatan Kaur. Sanatan, we were just talking a little bit about the mystery and also the power of creation. And now I want to share with you a beautiful quote that I found. It was a new quote, actually, from Einstein. And Einstein seemed to have said, "We are all slowed down sound and light waves, a walking bundle of frequencies tuned to the cosmos." And when I read that, tuned to the cosmos, I had to think about you chanting and tuning and singing. So what does having a chanting practice mean to you, and is it a kind of tuning in to the cosmos?
Yeah, that's a wonderful way to put it. I've had a chanting practice, I guess, since I was a teenager, and I discovered pretty much after witnessing my mom. I think that it gave me some good information. She would go to chanting for her own self-healing. And so I, as a teenager, discovered that. And that is one of the main ways that I utilize chanting, is to kind of rebalance, to heal, and come back to myself, to get out of the worries of the mind. It's a very powerful medicine that I have learned to incorporate into my life. And then I also love it for just a celebration, and the joy and the love. And that's a lot of where my music comes from, is just from that place of love and celebration that I can share, with the world. But the internal practice really does come from self-healing for me. And, that's how I kind of get back to my center point. And I find if I can have a regular chanting practice, that I don't necessarily have to get back to the center point, if that makes sense, because I'm already there. So it's a great practice to have, and to chant in the home and have that energy vibrating and resonating in the home.
And for people that are just getting started, they listen to a beautiful music. I think you are doing some online training, so that a lot of the songs that they hear on your album, that they can also sing with them and learn them and start to work with them. What are your recommendations? Is there a certain time that works really well? Should it be consistent? Should one dedicate a certain sacred space in the home, even if it's a little corner or a beautiful room? Does that make it easier to be consistent with this beautiful practice?
Yeah, I often do a lot of my chanting, honestly, when I'm doing the dishes and when I'm taking walks, especially out in nature. And I find that to be just a great way to bring in some of the energy of the chanting. Chanting connects us with the ether element, with the especially when you're chanting mantras. It brings the ether element in, which is basically the heavenly realm. And so I like to, especially when there's a task at hand, a big pile of dishes, you know, it just kind of lightens the load.
Yes.
And I also, you know, I find that chanting right before going to bed is incredibly helpful. It's a great way to wind down and release stress. And also there's this kind of like this magic nighttime energy or quality with the moon and the stars. That's a very sweet experience. And then likewise on the bookend, when the sun is rising early in the day, you know, this is a great way to just set the energy for the day. And I like to incorporate long deep breathing and yoga and chanting in the morning so that I kind of have that as I go into my day. I do teach online classes for people through our Kirtan and Kundalini school, where I'm teaching people how to play the harmonium and
nice.
Chant themselves. So we have a beginner course and a couple of intermediate courses, and I'm continuing to develop them. But we have people from all over the world who take these courses and learn how to chant in their own homes. And to me, this is like, you know, hugely amazing and wonderful, and maybe the best gift that I could give to anybody is, like, you know, that they can chant on their own and create music in their own home. And then I also teach a weekly online class too of yoga and chanting, or yoga and meditation and chanting. I find that having a little bit of yoga practice before you chant really opens the energy pathways. So I teach a regular Wednesday class at 1, and the recordings are available to all of our members, you know, forever. So people can rewatch or just take the lessons and do them whenever they want.
That is a gift of online, right? That we've all kind of, the world, as much as the pandemic was hard not to meet each other, at the same time, people were able to get closer to amazing teachers. There were fantastic musicians sharing their gifts. And this idea that you don't have to go and get a parking place and you don't have to drive. You can sit in your living room, relaxed, be part of it live. Or, like you said, you can, you know, rewatch, reabsorb, maybe repeat the class. If you felt it went really deep, you can do it every day. And it's a Wednesday night, you know, it's a Wednesday afternoon or Wednesday night class. So it's a one time with Sanatam, which could be an everyday, you know, chocolate treat, you know, which is beautiful.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. My husband and I had this dream forever that we would have our own school. He teaches Kundalini yoga and I teach chanting, and we thought for years and years we'd have to raise millions of dollars and a facility for people to be able to fly in from all over the world, because people, you know my music from all over the world are interested.
Right.
And this is incredible, because now it's much more affordable for everybody involved.
Yeah.
accessible. I do think it's a huge blessing in the pandemic.
Exactly.
Better for the environment, too.
Better for the environment, less jumbo jets landing close to your house, exactly, to study. Sonata, I want to play for the people a single that you released. It's called Soul Prayer. And I think it fits very well because we're talking about this beautiful practice, which I'm sure is for you similar to soul prayer, right? To really tune in. And would you like to share a few words before we play it?
Sure. Yeah. This track starts off with an invocation from the Sikh tradition, which is my spiritual path. Mm-hmm. And the translation is basically, "Oh God, to you I pray. No one even knows my name." And it's really this opportunity to kind of let the ego go and tune into God and what the divine is asking. And then the mantra that follows is this prayer that allows for the soul's prayer to come forward. So that's my experience of it. And yes. For me, this track is actually very joyful. that's just for me. I guess there's a freedom in being able to let the soul guide one's life and really tune into what its prayer is.
Perfect. Let's listen. Soul Prayer, off of Sanatam's newest album, Nirankar.
जाने मेरा
Yeah, you were listening to Sanatan Kaur. I thought we might go into a break, but let's just keep on going here because it's so beautiful to have Sanatan with us in the studio today with her new album, Sanatan, that was Soul Prayer. And you're singing in English and Gurmukhi. Yeah. Is that correct?
Yeah, Gurmukhi.
Beautiful. I was researching this a little bit. It is a script, but is it still an active language, or is it the language from all these ancient chants? Share with us a little bit more about the language. It's such a beautiful sound.
Well, Gurmukhi was developed by the second guru of the Sikhs, Guru mm-hmm. Angad, in the 16th century. And the first guru, Guru Nanak, traveled to many different regions and collected teachings from many different traditions and languages, Persian, you know, Hindi, all sorts of things, Sanskrit, you know, coming together. And then he also had many verses that he shared. And so Guru Angad wanted to have a script that could be easily learned and understood by people. They wouldn't have to have the knowledge of all these different languages. So mm-hmm. it was developed originally as a transliteration script to bring all of these sacred poems into one place, and which would eventually become the Sikh writings. And so Gurmukhi developed that's the origin, and then the spoken language of that time, of course, has its roots in the Gurmukhi language. Mm-hmm. And then now it's developed into the modern-day Punjabi, which mm-hmm. is spoken in the state of Punjab, which is mm-hmm. in northern India. Mm-hmm. And there are certain similarities and certain things that have varied from there.
Changed, yeah. Mm-hmm. So did you study this language, or are you just is it just through the chants that it's become closer to you, or is there really a Gurmukhi study, like we learn French, or we learn Sanskrit, or we learn Chinese or Mandarin, or
yes my mother taught me the Gurmukhi alphabet when I was little. She had the alphabet taped to the back of the driver's seat, and I was in the back seat, and I learned the letters.
Aha! Clever mom.
multitasking. And I learned the language, how to read, and then mm-hmm. I continue to this day to study it.
Beautiful.
I haven't taken formal classes above and beyond mm-hmm. mom university, so to speak. But I study, and this is something I've learned from my mom as well. I study the meaning of the words, especially when I sit down to chant and bring something into my personal practice.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, of course, when I go out to teach or to record, I really love to know what I'm chanting. So I have a little collection of dictionaries, and just go in, and it's fun, you know, to spend time. And over the years, I kind of learned few more words until, you know,
my vocabulary will be
someday like my mom's, which she knows quite a bit. But it is a whole study, and there are people that do this and have college degrees and in it, and I'm not at all at that level.
Your mom sounds like a very remarkable woman. You've brought her up a couple of times, I think that's a blessing that we have that connection, that river that's flowing from grandma to mom to, you know, to us, to our children. That's very beautiful. Let's then listen to your track, Ang Sang Wahaguru. And it says, in every cell and every limb and every fiber is the miracle of the divine. So this is sounds like embodiment pure, if you ask me. What are your thoughts on this track?
This is a mantra, Ang Sang Wahaguru, that has been a part of my life since I was a little girl. And it, for me, gives me a lot of strength.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I find that, there's this meditation that you can practice with it, actually, where if you have any kind of, like, self-doubt thoughts, you can utilize this mantra, which, you know, means in every cell and fiber of the divine is living, dancing, and breathing. So in this meditation, you can kind of bring forth any kind of haunting negative thought, like, oh, I'm so stupid, or I can't believe I said that, or, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say, ah, but Ang Sang Wahaguru. And you do that about like 3, 4, 5 times, and then this kind of haunting thought that was just that really hooked you kind of loosens its grip. And so and then you just go into the celebration of the bliss of the divine, which is an important place to be in this life. So I utilize it quite a bit to come back into this place and really tap into when I'm in this place of expansiveness, and I can tap into my courage, my truth so much more easily.
You're saying something so important, I think, because a lot of people almost feel guilty to go into that really ecstatic, blissful, high vibe place with so much suffering around us. And it's what I hear you saying is kind of like it's a choice, and in a way, when the world gets darker, it's for us to shine even brighter, right? In a way.
Yeah, I believe so. And I think, you know, there is, of course, you know, disengaging and not helping your neighbor when they need help. And
right.
That's not really where I think you or I are coming from, but it's like how to be there for your neighbor when they do come for help, or, you know, how to recognize the way that you can serve and to engage in that service really does require, I think, to be able to do it in an authentic way. It requires having these moments of bliss and tapping back in on a regular
gratitude
basis.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Let's listen to Ang Sang Wahaguru.
And just so you know, the mantra itself will come in probably around minute 4 or so.
Yeah, I have here a note that 3 minutes 13 is a beautiful up-tempo chorus kicks in. 3 minutes 13.
There we go.
So
wonderful.
So let's blend it in or fade in at 3 minutes 13. Then we might be out of time. Thank you. Ansang Wah, hey Guru, Satnam Kaur is with us in studio today, and that song is in every cell and every limb, and every fiber is the miracle of the divine, which is what we are really experiencing with this beautiful album, Sanatam, that you just brought out, Nirankar. You're on tour. We're coming to the close of the show. Soul journey, this has been your journey, is through the voice, is using your voice. Is there a golden nugget about your experience with voice that you'd like to leave our listeners today?
Oh, yes. Thank you so much. And, you know, what comes to mind is, you know, your voice can absolutely heal you. And through, especially singing mantra, because mantra is, these are, you know, songs of light and love and peace. And you just tap into this vibration. It does the work. It absolutely works. But it has to be your own voice. It can't be, you know, you're listening to somebody else. That helps. But really, it's when you engage your breath, you hear your voice chanting these words, that's when the healing really happens. So I do encourage people, if they listen to Nirankar or come to concert or workshop or whatever, to join me in singing.
Beautiful. Exactly. So we wish you much success for the upcoming tours. I think you are in Europe and you're also in Israel, I believe, and traveling around the world. And you were talking before the show, 2023, you have more cities planned. And because we know you're only on tour once a year, everybody, that means that if there's a date that's close to you, you go and visit Sanatam Kaur and sit and sing with her, right? So thank you so much for being at Voice Rising.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much for having me.
And love.